It's the 11th of August, 2019. Can you believe it already? A Sunday, and a Sunday evening in Los Angeles. Let's open up. Open up with the little Ben Patterson Trio. A real nice album. Accompanying him is John. Wait a minute. No, Harcourt. Be quiet. You can't run out there. The name of the album is Breathing Space. Want to listen to a nice number called Nordis. Thank you, like this. And then I'll be back to talk about the weekend and some other things. Enjoy. And thank you, Ben Patterson, for letting me use your music. I love it.
Thank you.
Ben always makes a real good show, I'm telling you. And listen to my computer talking out of its head in the background. Hold on one second. This is so embarrassing when I have to put up with this. Let's see. There we go. Ben Patterson. And a nice number. Nice number. I like that. Nordis. I don't have too much to talk about. Sunday, what did I do? Got up this morning and I refurbished my turntable, you know, what I play my plastic music on. And playing a lot of my albums that I bought back in the 70s and 80s, listening to them, going over the language of some of the music back in the day, thinking about Sunday morning and remembering what it was like when I was head of a family and had a wife and little girls. My girls now going on a half a century, so you know how much time has passed there. They're adults, very adult, very grown, and free and are independent, if you want to put it that way. Well, that's the way they are, free and independent. I usually speak with them from time to time, but they know that I go on with my life, and I'm living my life. Have my friends, and Sunday's produce is completely different. No, I woke up this morning thinking about God, blessings, the things that I have and what I have to do in order to retain it. That's a major feat in America. If you have anything, how are you going to retain it? Keep it, if you will, and how are you going to sustain living the way you're living? I'm not too much on food these days because I've learned from listening to my doctor and looking at myself how to live, all right, in such a way to stay healthy and to produce a decent life. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on the news. That guy that they said hung himself, that was accused. First of all, child molestation. I think that sometimes adults can be accused of leading weak-minded adults to do certain things, but these gals or these young ladies that were taken in by this, what's this guy's name? Epstein or whatever his name is, that hung itself in the New York City jail a few days ago. Why weren't they looking after him? They probably... You know what? I'm just going to speak freely about this. This is what I think happened. Everybody has their way of thinking. I say that if I were, you know, I have to think about that because I'm 75. This guy was 66 when he took his own life. Only one time I thought about taking my life. That was back in, first time the church had dumped me as a pastor. I remember my wife mentioned to me, there's a knife, you can go fall on it. You look so miserable. It was horrible times. Horrible times. If you ever thought about being a sincere pastor, one that really loved people and doing things biblically correct. You see, that's why, you know, when you look at biblical Christianity, being practiced in a non-biblical mentality with people that were using religion for everything but the right thing. I still cherish the Bible. I have many of them yet in my home, albeit I don't read them anymore, because I know what it says. I love to go verse by verse. I hear someone go verse by verse through the book of Romans again. I love some of the work that I've done on it. Have it all through my website. Just pondering things on a Sunday morning. What are the things that keep me interested, tied in, keyed into life? Would I just, like most people, just think about everything falling apart? No, I think that what we have to do is we have to take a very, very serious look. And that's what I've been doing these days, taking very, very serious looks. I still have to get rid of a lot of stuff around the house. I want to, I think it's time for maybe one or two pieces of new furniture. I'm becoming tired of looking at things that I've been looking at over the years. It's summertime, it's August. A lot of my friends are vacationing. They're out of town, and they wanted me to go with them, but my money won't allow it. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the fact. Can't afford it. I've never, believe this or not, I've never been to Europe. Never been there. Never gone. Now, at my age, there's really not too much to go there for. I really don't want to see the Eiffel Tower in France, and I see enough of London on YouTube or the news these days, and all the other countries, along with being blown up, killing, and people going berserk and killing other people. I'm really not interested in going anywhere, really. Contentment is a principle that I learned in the Bible, and I'm learning how to be. Albeit today is a very lonely, lonely Sunday. I was thinking about going to visit my daughter. I have one daughter that lives in the city here, and she has children, and I was going to hang out with them, but I feel like I'm encumbering myself upon people like that, and I don't want to do that. You know, I would rather stay home. I watched an interesting movie on Netflix. The writers have some very interesting things that they're writing about, and it's uncomfortable to think about these things, but people are writing about it, and so I guess that's the top of the chart on what's going on. If you hear any little music in the background, someone in the other room playing some music, and so I just thought that I'd pop in the studio and have a little talk. I do hope that as you scroll down on this page, if you would like to listen to some Christian messages, they are there. All of those things are me. I'd love to bring you a recent one on. I mean, well, okay, what can I say about this freak, this fooling with the children? You know what my biggest problem is with all these things? So, Bill Cosby's in jail, and his estate is being gone through. And this clown is dead, and they're going to go through his estate, and you know, there may be things on there saying, well, if he's dead and you can't get the money, you can't punish him. And a lot of the women are mad because he can't punish him. Here's my question, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for asking this. Why are you just now coming forth on this? You know, you went to the dude for money. You're teenage girls. You took money for it. Yeah, he was wrong for doing it. But, you know, you took money for it. What's going on? I don't feel lonely for these white women coming up talking about looking what he, and even if they're a black one. You act whorish. What do you expect? What do you expect? You know, and it's the bottom line. You know, what they expect the preachers to do is to abhor what this guy did. Oh, it's disgusting what he did. I saw how the FBI was reporting, if you know this man, say this. Well, yeah, that's right. If you're going around messing with children, please turn the man in. But let's not talk about the children. That's obvious. That is obviously wrong. Some of these people want to be with these people, man. I'm just trying to keep everything on the up and up. I think, independent of everyone else's moral judgment and everything. You know, everybody says, oh, that's disgusting to think about how he can do that with those young girls or young boys or whatever the case may be. And it is disgusting. He was a freak rich. And what do you think people do? And listen, don't try to brush this stuff under the rug. I mean, this dude was a financier. He dealt with politicians. People high in government, rich people, people that have been doing things like this for centuries. But what's wrong here? People are like that. They do it. I calling this guy to shame, I call the women to shame. It's shameful that at 14 and 15 years old, why didn't you tell your parents? You would stand with some parents. What he threw you, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 or maybe $1,000, and you shut up for years, and now you're speaking forward. Hey, you know what? If somebody had something to do with me years ago, and I'm trying to think, if I can think of anybody that had anything to do with me and that can scream on me at 75. You know, I'm thinking, who? Did I touch it? Ain't nobody out there screaming on me. But let's say that some people came forward. Oh, Pastor John touched me when I was 12 and 13 years old. Some dude. Yeah, I remember I was in Sunday school class with him, and he touched me. Bring it out. I got a question. Why didn't you tell them when I first did it? Why didn't you tell your parents? Why didn't you tell your friends? You know, I didn't have no control over you. See, I'm just coming clean with it like this because it is so easy for a man's life to be destroyed based upon the weakness of other people. Since my poor wife passed away, yeah, I've had relations with other people. And I always ask them, I said, do you feel, you know, a lot of people say, I'll never forget what a preacher told me after my wife died. He told me, well, we know you're going to do something, so leave town. I said, I'm not leaving town. I'm a grown man. I'm not leaving town. Why? Leave town and so the congregation won't hear about it and so you won't lose your job. I quit. What? See, just living like that, living incognito. And my God, if the preacher's wife knew what he told me, you know what he's doing? Oh my God, I couldn't believe he told me that. We were having a nice fish lunch. Yeah, if you're going to do something, just do it out of town. A preacher, a pastor of a church. Good sized church, too. And most of them think that way because what they're doing is they're into that occupation to make easy, quick money. And you have to understand that religion sometimes offers that. Okay, so I tell you now, as a grown man, if I wanted to, like Marvin Gaye said, let's get it on, I would ask a person if they wanted to get it on with me, and if they wanted to get it on with me, let's get it on. There'd have to be some mutual agreement here. There's not going to be any exchange of money because No. Well, but you're old and old. Let me tell you something. I was in the supermarket today, and going down an aisle, and I saw an elderly black man, and we passed each other in the aisleway, and he said, "Man, you wearing that gray nice." And I said, "Yeah, well, you know." And I kind of made myself up nice before I went out because it's Sunday. And I don't like going out the house looking all nappy and everything. So I shaved, freshly shaved, shaped my little mustache. And he said, "You look good." I said, "Well, thank you. I'm 75. And he told me he was 66. And he said, "You're 75? I said, "Yep. And hope to live till I'm 102. That's what I told him. And he says, "What is your secret?" I said, "Well, I eat what I know is good for my body. And I don't listen to anyone else when it comes to food. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a stupid mistake I did. One of the young men that I used to counsel came by and brought some breakfast, brought some McDonald's, and he brought me up. It was a sausage biscuit. And I knew I shouldn't have eaten it because I don't eat things from McDonald's, especially sausage and things like that much. When I go out to breakfast on a special occasion, I may have salmon croquettes, grits, little scrambled eggs, wheat toast, and a cup of coffee. But trust me, no more than that for breakfast. But I ate the McDonald's thing, and so did another person eat it. And the next morning, we both had diarrhea all day. The man said, "I thought it was me." I said, "No, it was what we ate. He brought the food here. We graciously received." I don't eat that. It's garbage. And when you eat good food and eat it repeatedly, your body will have a negative reaction towards the garbage that you put in from these fast food places. So I, no. The fries, you know, that I love, no. I stay away from that too. You know, I'm gonna play another number because I want to make a little beverage for myself here as I sit here in the studio and think. But anyhow, let me go back to that. The man was in the supermarket. And there was another man. There was a security guard, kind of a heavy set fella. I was in Ralph's. And when I went in, I said, "Look, the air conditioner is on too strong. I'm 75 and it's freezing my bones." And he said, "What?" I said, "It's freezing my bones. Turn this stuff down." And he said, "What? You 75? Second person today." I said, "Yes. I had on my, still got them on, my sports shorts, my Adidas top body shirt. You know, it's the tight one. And I have a little midrib, but he again was amazed. And he says, "What are you eating?" And I told him, "Stop eating the beef." And we were standing right next to the cola thing. I said, "Stop drinking all this sugar in it." I said, "Because if you continue to eat things like that, you're just tearing your body down." I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. I may have a little salmon and rice, something simple, and a little spinach on the side. Something simple like that. Because I haven't eaten, and it's 8:22 now. But I'm just sitting here in the studio thinking about how blessed I am or how fortunate I am to have my health, to be able to think right, and to be able to say, don't jump on everybody's bandwagon and go to the place. Let me try to see. I think I messed this up, but I'll try to devour it. We find ourselves, if we're not careful, deciding what is right by using the other person's logic instead of our own. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. It is a healthy thing for a young man to think independently of himself and to think of procuring a life for himself. What kind of car he wants to drive, what kind of apartment he wants to live in, the kind of clothes. I was at Jazz at LACMA on Friday night, and there was a young Korean man, and he had on something, it looked like an overall, a pair of overalls. You know, the kind of coveralls that an auto mechanic would wear. But what I liked about the outfit is that it was a new style. And it was unique, and I was with two other people. And I said, "You see that? I'd like to get me about 5 pair of that, all different colors, and just wear that for the rest of my life." And they said, "But you look like you'd have on a pair of coveralls, work coveralls." I said, "There would be no patches on it. I liked it because it had zipped up pockets. I can put my wallet there, my phone there. I had little pockets in the leg, and nicely tailored as you went down towards the ankle of it." And the two men with me were trying to tell me that, "Oh, you'd look ridiculous wearing that anywhere." And I said, "Look how sharp he looks. He was very sharp. And I'm going to go on this computer and I'm going to look for those pants. And when I get a few extra dollars, I'm going to buy the 5 pair. And wherever I go, that will be my wardrobe. I'll keep them washed, starched, ironed. If I have to go and get food, I have to go to the doctor, I have to go visit it, I go to the movie, I put them on. And all the rest of this junk, I'll get rid of it." Man, it looked like one of the uniforms that Chairman Mao had the people there in China wearing during the revolution. Very comfortable. Loose fitting, and that's the way I like clothes to fit me now. I like some of the newer styles. The skinny jeans, I've always liked them. They're very good. But what you have to watch about the skinny jeans is the waist, because they don't do the waist on those pants very well. And I like my pants fitting me right. But I like these new styles that are coming out. Young people are very innovative, and they make living easier. Lest I forget, I'm going to have to check with the pharmacy and make sure that my medicine is ready. Cholesterol medicine and high blood pressure medicine, I have to pick that up on next week. Have to keep that, keep taking the meds. I made a statement on the last webcast about smoking sativa. And it is no secret that, and there's practically nothing that's a secret about my life. And whenever I make a statement like that, some people don't like me as well as they used to like me. I can't live in a world where I'm trying to make friends at this age. Really not. And I made friends in the supermarket today. The man that I was speaking with, just like the other day, the African man that called me from the Kaiser Permanente. I try to befriend everybody that I can, because it seems that on the Christian end, I've lost all my friends. Practically all of them. If you can really believe that, I spend most of my adult working years, the prime of my life, in the church, and practically no one in the church wants to communicate with me. That is paradoxical. Now, you know, if you want to think with a negative mind, because I talk with people and they said, oh, John, when I was in the church, what they would do is that if you don't live the way that they thought that you would live, they would castigate you to hell. Well, that's so old. They can't castigate me to anything. I'm going to make this statement perfectly clear. And even after some of these people have died, I found out after they died, the only reason that I won't say anything is because some of their relatives still listening to me, and I don't want to spill the beans. But these people were all sleeping around and doing the most disgusting things. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and he said, well, hell, weren't you sleeping around? I said, no, I was living this. He said, what? I said, yes. You know, I thought it was ridiculous that the pastor had a job. He was trying to keep the young girls virgins. I used to tell him, if you want to meet up, hook up with one of these guys, go ahead. It's your bad. Asking me silly questions like, do I read? Can I read minds? Some of my friends still go to church, and I don't know why they go. Because when I go and visit with them, I say, for God's sake, what are you going there for? Who? Your pastor? What? What kind of credentials? Oh, John, there you go with credentials. You don't need credentials to preach. You have to listen to the voice of God. You know what? Let me tell you something. They listened to Adolf Hitler, too. And I saw what the Muscovites did to Berlin when they came in here and smashed that shit. You better be careful who you're listening to. I'm talking about old John. And remember, Adolf thought that he was speaking, man, on God's behalf. For the Rhineland. Everybody trying to blame all this race hate on Donald Trump. Ooh, man, I just saw a picture flashed up on my computer. We'll come back to Donald Trump. I just saw a picture of my computer of the Olivet Baptist Church at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard. Well, when you go there now, there are condos filling up the whole lot there. There's no remnant of the church that J.B. Stanley built and that I preached, and it is gone. Erased like it never existed. And you know what? That gives me mixed feelings. It does. Mixed feelings. And to think about, I just did a few things wrong when I was a pastor. And I can admit, I'm the pastor that's going to admit everything. I'm going to admit it. I trusted in people. I should not have. I should have been a hardcore slave driver. But that's what they tell me they thought I was, because I was a stickler for preaching nothing but the word of God. I wouldn't compromise for any of them. I was under constant pressure to compromise what I knew, what was right about God. And this fiasco thing when they start bringing these women in to preach, my God. And look at it now. But I know I'm supposed to be a team player, you know, learning how to play ball with everyone. John, don't be so critical. Come on, give in. It's time to give in. It's time for change, John. Let them do it now. I remember I had a deacon. He told me that, oh, John, let them do it now. We've been doing it this long. I said, what are you talking about? James Frost told me that, chairman of my deacon board. I said, what in the hell are you talking about? Let them do it. The Bible forbade some women to usurp authority over a man, and you telling me to step aside and let them do it over my dead body? Well, they didn't kill me, but they removed me. And they had to bring up a lying scheme on me. I'm sleeping with all these people in the church. I wish I knew. And I must have been sleepwalking if I was doing that. What in the hell was I doing that? Somebody should have told me. Was it good? I remember a man was a member of the church, and he came by my office one day, and he was crying. Oh, man, men were weak. And I said, what is it? What happened? I slept with a woman. I said, okay. Did you climax? He said, he immediately stopped crying. And he said, what? I said, did you come to orgasm? Did you ejaculate? I'm just keeping it real. I said, if you slept with a woman, I want to know if you came to the end of the act or whether you just hugged her, put your arm around her. I'm not trying to be nasty or crazy or anything like that, because this is 2019, and if you can't talk about coitus, you can't. You from another planet. Everybody talking about it. Everybody doing it. So I asked the man, and he said, I just feel so guilty. I said, well, you never should have done it. Why are you telling me these things? I didn't want to hear that. Now when I look over the thing and see you, I'm going to look at a man that was crying in my office because he got him a little piece. What? Man, oh, man, oh, man. Think independent of other people. Listen. Young friend of mine who grew up down the street from me got married. I went to the wedding. I told you about it. People asked me about it. I said, I hope that the young man is very happy. I know his fiance. I know him. He wanted to go that route. I think that's a wonderful thing if a man wants to go down the an aisle of matrimony. I wouldn't marry anybody today. I wouldn't. I would not marry anybody today. I would ask the person, do they want to be with me? If the person said yes, I said, how old are you? They'd have to be over 25. Okay, you're over 25. You want to live with me. And you want to live with me, and you want to be personal, and you want to be intimate with me. Okay, I'm grown. You're grown. All right. I'm not breaking no laws. We. You go your way. I'll go mine. You don't have to stay with me. You're not dependent upon me. You working. I'm working. If I have a little money, I share it with you when I can. That day, you know, we can, you know, we can get along. We can go to the movies together, go to the library, go to the park, go to the beach. We can do that. You don't have to get married to do that. But when you sign that contract, when you get married, you sign a legal contract. It's a legal document. And you're starting another will to turn here. Another kind of will turns. I try to tell these millennials, I say, you got to think now. Because back in the day when you got married, now they're talking about a prenuptial. Can you believe that? I don't know whether the young men that got married last week had a prenuptial. I know one thing, that she took out a big long list of paper and started reading. Because see, they make up their own vows now. They don't have nobody make up no vows while they're getting together. So, here's a good question. Since they are making up their own vows, and these vows have no connection with Christianity, Christendom, the church, any kind of religious organization in that way, can we honestly say that that is a legitimate marriage? What you think? Yeah, I thought so. Mm-hmm. But he married. Look at him. A picture came on my screen. I remember when that boy was out of jail. He's in prison now. Poor fella. My goodness. That's me before the heart attack. Well, the open heart surgery. Because I never had a heart attack. I had one heart attack in 1997. But I haven't had anything since then. I got to call my girls and talk with them tonight. I don't think I'm going to do a long webcast. I just wanted to come on and share with you those few things. See, there's nothing to talk about. I'm redoing my garden in the backyard. The amaranth is flourishing in the back, hopefully. If I'm alive, I'll get up early enough and get up out there and start piddling around in the dirt and pulling the weeds out that needs to be pulled out and do what 75-year-old man do. Go and eat the rest of my enriched salad that I picked up at Everything Salad Bar, and continue to enjoy the rest of my Sunday evening. I want to thank you for coming to my website and giving some kind of thought to me. I don't have too much to say, and you can tell that I'm few and far and in between. I may pick up doing more webcasts, but I don't think I should have to. I think that we all know where we are and where we want to be. If you want to get closer to God, you're free to go to a lot of the work on my website and listen to it. I believe that if you really want to seek God and have righteousness come your way, live righteously before men. Live that way. You know, tell people the truth when you talk to them. Don't be inhibited by someone else's truth, because their truth can knock you off your feet. The truth will make the hair stand up on the back of your head. Find people that agree with you. I can't say that enough. I'm thinking about a man I was very close to this man when I was in the church with him, Timothy. He was my protege. He was the guy that was supposed to take over my website when I passed away. I mean, years ago, he was in the studio here with me. I was training him. He understood theology, went on to be a nice little preacher in a church somewhere down near San Diego. I think he's still a member of that church. He's not too much on social networks like that, and that's good. I'm glad Timothy got off that, because when you're in Christian ministry, you can't do the social media thing and start talking outside of what evangelicism says, because if you do, you know, they're going to think that you're going nuts. That's why a lot of them think that I've gone banana fruitcakes. I haven't. You know, it takes too much sense to turn on all this equipment and to sit down in this studio like you're in front of 200 people and talk when you're all alone. Hey, wasn't that a nice radio thing I did with Mike Coger a couple of days ago? Did you go to it yet? Go to my Facebook page and you see a radio presentation there. I guess I could have embedded it to this site here, but do it on my Facebook page and listen to it. I'm real pleased with what Mike is doing. He's in the sports field now, and those other guys that was in the booth with us are professionals within their own right, treating me with due respect and decency, better than some of these Christians out here. Ooh. Here again. I just got to say it. What is with that? Why are there people that don't even know you, that are not even connected to church or religion, treat me better upon their first meeting of me and just take the words of another man who said, "This man was my mentor, kicked my butt many a time, but I learned from him." See? Love Mike Coger. Mike Coger loves me. And I'm going to be friends with him for life. I got a lot of other friends too. But I just don't hang around them, because unless they get their head wrapped tight on freedom, I don't follow nobody's religion, nobody's rules. That doesn't coincide with where I am in my life. Nobody's. And you don't need money to say that. You need integrity to say it. All right. I've said enough. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Thanks for coming to the website. Hopefully I'll be back. Maybe sometime tomorrow I'll come on in here and say something. I think we all need to hear it, don't we? God bless.